The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's the show about everything,
including the things that we can't mention.
Do you know what we're talking about? Because if you do, let us know and hurry.
Broadcasting live in the heart of New York City, the Eric Metaxas Show.
Now your host, until further notice, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, isn't that sweet?
Oh,
Albin,
yeah.
Until further notice.
Okay.
Well, that's accurate.
Okay.
That's accurate. It's still Friday.
Don't open any envelopes that say notice on them.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
That's right. It's still Friday. And we just talked to Oz Guinness. We're now going to talk to a professor of military history at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale is one of our sponsors. And I thought, hey, they've got this treasury of brilliant professors there. When you go to Metaxas for Hillsdale.com, you know, you can whatever. You can, sometimes they offer free college courses with these professors. I thought, why don't we talk to some of these professors?
Right, and he's
they're geniuses and they actually know how to communicate.
And he knows military history inside and out. And of course, it's Veterans Day weekend, so happy Veterans Day to all the veterans and God bless you.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to him.
Yes.
Obviously, thank you
yes.
very much. Okay, we've got a few announcements here. First of all, people know that we had a Donald Drains the Swamp contest. Now, I think I already announced this, but I wanted to say it again just because it's so I love the fact that we basically said, since it's Halloween, people are getting dressed up. We got the election. Let's have a Donald the Caveman dress up contest. If you dress up as Donald the Caveman, you know, we'll send you a book, a signed book
yes.
from me, whatever, you know, to you, whatever. And then whoever wins it will get three books and a button and the whole thing. OK, so I'm going to announce the winners right now. I don't have have last names for all of them. All right. Lydia, Emily, Calvin, and Andrew from Cranberry, Pennsylvania.
Ah, that's the Pittsburgh area.
They get a book because they dressed up as Donald Drains the Swamp. The Franks family, I don't have the address yet. Nicholas Gates from Hudsonville, Michigan. And then Chad and Caleb Reagan from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Good.
And the grand winner, I did announce this the other day, Alicia and Jeremy Walk from Quakertown, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this week on my
the newsletter.
On the newsletter that I sent out, which actually goes, I think it already went out
afternoon.
It went out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But every week I send out a newsletter. I put all the pictures from the Walk family and Jeremy Walk wrote a sonnet.
Oh, yes.
I just can't – I can't get over it. Like, it was so spectacular. So they are the grand winners, Alicia and Jeremy Walk. Alicia created these costumes. I need to get one of these costumes because we need to go to Times Square and have somebody dressed up, either you or me or someone we hire.
I'm afraid it might be me, but go ahead.
Yeah, we can all be dressed up and interview people about Donald the Caveman.
Yes.
We need to do that.
But
Alicia Walk created these truly amazing, beautiful costumes, and including a Donald kind of wig, right? And her husband, Jeremy, wrote a sonnet, which I still can't get over. I mean, you want to talk about a talented family.
Oh, yeah.
So he teaches
And it's
English.
Part of the newsletter, so people must sign up for your newsletter at Metaxas, ericmetaxas.com.
Right.
Go to ericmetaxas.com
and sign up. Yeah,
so
yeah,
you can
yeah.
see all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I wanted to read the sonnet on the air today, and I think I have it right in front of me here. But really, this stuff just blesses me so much. Okay, so this is when you – I'm telling you. The winning picture of their 18-month-old son dressed as Donald the Caveman holding a We the People club with a Twitter bird on it is so cute, I could shriek. If you don't get my newsletter, folks, go to ericmetaxas.com where it says sign up for Eric's Weekly. I'm telling you, like if one out of five is this great, you're going to, you want this, but you got to go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up. But okay, I'm going to read the, he is so cute. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything that cute in my life. Okay. But here, this is the sonnet that Jeremy Walk wrote, and Walk is W-A-L-C-K. And these, they're from Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Here it is. This is about Donald the caveman. You ready, Alvin? You ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
Ready?
Oh,
here it is.
Oh boy, I'm going to
shriek.
This is the sun.
No, this is good. This is really good. You know, I wouldn't read it if it weren't good.
No, I know.
Okay. Dost thou compare to a Neanderthal? No others are as smart or strong as thee. To otherwise say so would take much gall, invoking wrath from pen and policy. The swamp, his home, festers under the sun with swarms of pests and creatures past their prime. This troglodyte, none but can get it done, the task to drain the swamp in record time. He's tough and they, the creatures, dangerous, club-wielding, constitution is in hand, terrific hair, bigly and tremendous, this caveman will indeed reclaim the land. So long as we, the people, have a voice, intact this republic will keep by choice. Congratulations, Jeremy Walk. Really,
yeah.
We have the best listeners on this program.
Unbelievable. Beautiful.
Really, we have
Beautiful.
The best listeners on this program. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just wanted to say
thank
that.
Thank you, yes.
Isn't that just like amazing? We've also got some letters and things. We're going to try to do this on Fridays. I should have said that. That on Fridays and Wednesdays.
We're going to try to do fun facts again. We're going to try to do letters. And, of course, on Wednesday when we do call-in shows, we're going to do letters, emails, that sort of thing as
right,
well.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. All right, so here's – somebody wrote in about my interview with John Hagee.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, that gives me another opportunity to say – John Hagee, for some reason, he seems to be a controversial figure. So people on Twitter are like, why are you having John Hagee? I never want to listen to you again. Right?
Yeah.
And I think, well, in the interview I did with him, I thought it was an absolutely delightful interview.
It
doesn't mean I necessarily agree with everything he says. In fact, his sense of the end times and the rapture and whatever, I don't know that I disagree with it or agree with it. I'm fascinated by it. And he makes a tremendously compelling case.
Yes.
But he is so bright. I mean, I'd never met him before. I was very impressed with him. So I don't know what people, you know, maybe they don't like his Blood Moon stuff. I'm not a big fan of the Blood Moon stuff.
And you met him
either.
In person, too, in the studio. So you get a sense of a man, you know, in person, not just.
That's right.
Phone.
He had an overpowering cologne.
Oh, big, too.
No, that's
big
not
guy,
true. That's not
guy.
True. You have an overpowering cologne.
I do. You've told me that, and thank you.
Actually, you don't have it.
You noticed, though.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But anyway, so I just wanted to say that, and I also wanted to say that we had a weird thing happen on Wednesday. We're going to try to do call-ins every Wednesday. Somebody called in and guessed the orange creature in my Donald Drains the Swamp book. I said, do you know who it is? Because I found out who Tim Raglan was trying to capture. And the answer was John Brennan, former CAA director John Brennan, who's become a very sour swamp creature. He's, if you see him on TV, turn away. It's hideous. He just fulminates. It's awful. But anyway, so a caller called in and said, John Brennan. I was like, holy cow, you got it. You're the winner.
Yeah.
Then, like the next day, we get an email that had come in like 3 days before, but we didn't see it from the office because we've just got staff of – two. And the email came in, and another person had also guessed it correctly.
Right.
Well, isn't that kind of interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
So both people got it right,
yeah,
and
so
actually both of them are winners. So they both get assigned Donald Drains the Swamp book.
A participation.
Yeah.
Trophy.
Oh, by the way, I just want to mention, we got a letter from Costco that they're not going to carry the book.
Why not?
I don't know. And so we're appealing to them. Because it's crazy. I think if the book were in the store, there's so many people that would like it. But the same thing with Barnes & Noble. I don't think they're carrying it. Folks, if you go into a bookstore, please beg them to carry the book because it's really weird. I mean, people want it for Christmas gifts. It's fun.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows it's fun. It's not mean. It's not like those Colbert books, which they carry. But anyway, I just wanted to say that the book is not in a lot of bookstores. Which I just find weird. So you have to probably get it off Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But Amazon, the price is like $13.50. That is rock bottom if you're looking to get it. I mean, because they raised
for
it.
Caveman,
it was $19.
Rock bottom.
And then they lowered it to $16, and then they lowered it to $13.50. A couple days ago, it was $16 again. Whatever. I think it's $13.50 now. But I just say this because, you know what? I want people to know where to get it. But if you have a bookstore – ask them if you would. When we come back, it's Veterans Day, so we're going to be talking to Thomas Connor, professor of military history at Hillsdale College. I think that's it.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
She's such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DinoVite.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dinovite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it, and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dinovite for life.
This is Ed Lukasiewicz.
And Cindy Lukasiewicz.
Inviting you and your pets to Dinovite.
859-428-1000. DinoVite.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of conservatives winning the war on issues like gun rights, religious liberty, immigration law, and the sanctity of life. We use our cell phones every single day, so why not use them to make a change? Patriot Mobile does just that. They exist to donate a portion of your monthly bill to 17 conservative organizations fighting for your beliefs. And for the entire month of November, you can buy one line and get another line free for 12 months. Every day, people are switching their cell phone service to Patriot Mobile, and they love knowing their cell phone company supports conservative causes they believe in. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. You can keep your number, get the same super reliable nationwide service, and feel good about funding the right agendas with every call you make. With unlimited plans starting as low as $20 per month, why wait? Visit them online at patriotmobile.com or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile. Come join the family.
No cement and ivory on towers. Someone called us Babylon, those hungry hunters tracking down the hours. But where were all your shoulders when we cried?
Hey there, folks. That's Elton John, and I'm Eric Metaxas. And on the line, folks, I have a Hillsdale College professor. You know I'm always going on and on about a Hillsdale. Well, anytime I can get a Hillsdale College professor on the program to show you, you know, who is teaching the kids at Hillsdale, it's fun because we get to talk about all kinds of things. Today, I have the honor of speaking with the author of a new book, War and Remembrance, The Story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. Thomas Connor is a professor at Hillsdale of military history, of history. Professor Connor, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. It's a pleasure to be with you.
What is this? The title of your book is War and Remembrance, The Story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. What exactly is that referring to?
Well, the American Battle Monuments Commission is a small independent agency of the federal government. I've been intrigued to learn whether, in fact, it's the smallest agency of the government. I don't know that for a fact, but its mission is to, first to build, but ultimately to maintain monuments and cemeteries to the wars that the United States has fought overseas. Its mission is basically carried out overseas. So what I've written about in the book is largely the story of the creation of cemeteries and war memorials, principally from World War I and World War II, in Europe, in Asia, North Africa, around the world, really.
Well, you say here in the book that the agency to which we're referring was founded in 1923.
Yes.
I just think the idea that it was founded in 1923 and it's remained small is a kind of miracle, because everything in Washington grows like a weed. It seems to be unstoppable. So it is interesting that that it has been small. But what it's doing, of course, is quite huge. I mean, when we're talking about monuments, we're talking about a lot of monuments, by the way.
We're talking about 26 cemeteries worldwide. There are 8 from World War I and 14 from World War II.
Wow.
The 4 cemeteries that aren't from either of the world wars tend to be much smaller and were kind of added to the mission of the agency. But there are a couple dozen monuments as well scattered around the globe.
Well, to be clear, this is for soldiers who fought and died in foreign wars, who died and are resting overseas specifically.
Yes, that's correct.
The cover of the book, you have the picture of a cemetery. I'm not sure quite where that is, but you see all of those white crosses. It looks like Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. Where is that, the cover of the book?
Yeah, that cemetery photo comes from the Henri Chapelle American Cemetery in Belgium, Eric. And in fact, you know, most of the national cemeteries do not look quite like that. The crosses and Stars of David that mark the overseas graves are something unique. The national cemeteries, including Arlington, well, in Arlington you get a wide variety of gravestone and grave monument, but these overtly and explicitly Judeo-Christian symbols are unique, I think, to our overseas cemeteries.
Well, that I did not know. That's extraordinary. Now, you teach military history actually you have a chair in military history at Hillsdale and you're professor of history. What originally drew you to the study and now the teaching of history? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania, very close to places like Valley Forge and Gettysburg and of course, Philadelphia, where so many Revolutionary War sites are. And I had a father who only finished high school. He never went to college, but he was a veteran of the Second World War. And so I kind of grew up in a household which was always interested in history, because I was born in 1950. And when my father was back from his army service in the Second World War, he just read voraciously, trying to understand as fully as he could what he'd actually done and what the U.S. Army had actually been called upon to do in the Second World War. So that's where my love of history came from.
Well, you have a chair specifically in military history. What mm-hmm. was it that drew you to that? Did you serve in the military?
No, Eric, I have no military service at all. And in fact, I am not trained as a military historian. The college actually was given that chair by a man who was from the World War II era, but he was a Dartmouth College graduate. He wanted to give the chair initially to his own alma mater, but they wouldn't take it because they didn't want to have a chair in military history.
Isn't that perfect? I mean, that just says it all. The Ivy League has gone to the devil. There's no question about it. There are wonderful young people there, some of them conservatives, some of them Christians, but by and large, the institutions themselves have just given themselves over to the zeitgeist. They're absolutely oddly anti-military. Many of them don't allow ROTC chapters. It's very strange, and so I guess it's a happy thing to my mind that the chair was endowed at Hillsdale, where of course more than just you are excited about something like this and excited about American military history, as we all should be.
Yeah, very much so. I had the opportunity in graduate school to start accompanying the military historian at my university, which was the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I accompanied him on field trips, he called them, to the overseas sites, and I was one of his graduate assistants. Mm. And that's really how I got sort of connected with the cemeteries and learned to, well, first of all, how beautiful they were and how important they were as sites of memory, but also how accommodating and welcoming and forthcoming the personnel were at these American Battle Monuments Commission sites. And when it dawned on me 10 years ago that nobody had ever told the story, I decided that perhaps I should be the one to try. So,
well, and of course, now you've done it. The book is just out. It's called War and Remembrance, the story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. How many soldiers in toto are buried in the cemeteries to which you refer?
Roughly 135,000 from two world wars, and there's also an ABMC site in Mexico City with dead from the Mexican War. There's a veterans cemetery at Clark Air Force Base, or what used to be Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines, which has some dead, I suspect, from the early fighting in the Philippines in the 20th century. But I was drawn to the subject just because of my own visits there, and because I thought it was a very important story to tell. So,
well, it's an interesting thing to think about being buried overseas. Let me ask you just the simple question: Did the families have a choice in the matter? I would think that most families would want the bodies of their relations to be brought back to the United States. Is that something that just wasn't feasible during time of war?
Well, what made it not feasible any longer, the Spanish-American War dead at the turn of the 19th into the 20th century were all repatriated, all brought home, but there were only 7,000 or 8,000 of them. World War One, we lost over 100,000 men, and so the government decided to give the families of the dead a choice. As to whether they wanted the bodies repatriated at government expense or left in a permanent American cemetery. And the same choice was given families of the World War II dead. And the interesting thing was that exactly the same percentage of families decided to have the bodies brought home versus left in a permanent U.S. cemetery. 61% had them brought home, 39% left abroad.
That is interesting, and I know it must be very moving to be at these places because many of them died close to where they're buried. I've never been to some of these cemeteries, but you know, I remember Reagan giving his speech. I can't remember the exact spot of where he was at the time, but it is a moving thing to think that so many of our war dead lie in graves overseas. Folks, I'm talking to professor at Hillsdale College, Thomas Connor. We'll be right back to talk about his book, War and Remembrance. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Learn to love another while I am sleeping in my grave. While he is sleeping.
Let's talk about your business for a minute. Think about all the things you're doing to attract the best talent. Between the networking events and referral bonuses, you're probably spending plenty of time and money to find the right people. But what if it was your office that attracted employees? Today's workforce is mobile and active, and they want an office designed around the way they work. And Varidesk makes it easy. Varidesk standing desk solutions help you create an active workspace where employees can stand and move, so they're happier, healthier, and more productive. Our full line of active office products are constructed with commercial-grade materials and require little to no assembly, so they're easy to set up and move. Companies of any size can have a Varidesk active workspace. Ordering is simple. Shipping is free. And our 30-day guarantee means if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free. Learn more about Varidesk Active Workspace Solutions at varidesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings, but I still had to install them. So I called in my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
The holidays are just weeks away, but there's still time to get your home guest ready with brand new, made-to-order custom blinds from Blinds.com. Now, through November 13th, get huge site-wide savings, plus an additional 5% off everything at Blinds.com with promo code SHUTTERS, but only until November 13th. Go now for huge site-wide savings, plus an additional 5% off at Blinds.com, promo code SHUTTERS. Blinds.com, promo code SHUTTERS. Exclusions, rules, and restrictions apply.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking with a Hillsdale College professor. You know we have a website, metaxasforhillsdale.com. You can find out more about what's going on at Hillsdale College. But we're talking to Thomas Connor, who has written a book called War and Remembrance, a story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. Professor Connor, you say that you often give tours of some of these European battlefields in the summer. When did you start to do that?
I started in graduate school, Eric, with the military historian at North Carolina at the time, a fellow named James Lutze. I was his graduate assistant for four consecutive summer trips. And then when I got out on my own here at Hillsdale, I started doing trips for the college students again. And for the last 14 or 15 years, I've been going over every summer with high school students who are being recruited by the college. So I've made quite a few trips to a number of these places.
So you've been to Normandy and to Verdun. It's an interesting thing now that we're celebrating the 100th year anniversary of the end of World War One. Most people have kind of forgotten about World War One. There's no one living, I don't think, who fought in that war. And we forget about the meaning of something like Verdun. I mean, for people listening right now, they've never heard of Verdun. Since you've given tours there, tell us what took place at the Battle of Verdun.
Well, the Battle of Verdun, of course, was a battle between France and Germany. It did not involve the United States. It was in the year 1916, and the United States was not even a belligerent power just then. But it was a pretty much a set piece battle. It was the longest battle in the First World War. It lasted 10 months from February until December of 1916, and the losses on both sides were absolutely horrific. And perhaps the most striking thing about the 600,000 or 700,000 casualties in the battle, I'm not even sure anyone will ever come up with an accurate number, Eric, because it was a slugfest. It was fought, the same ground was fought over week after week after week. A lot of the bodies were pulverized by artillery fire, and I don't think it will ever be possible to count the total number of casualties in that battle. But it ended up inconclusively. It was kind of a microcosm of World War One,
right,
itself.
I've never heard of a battle lasting 10 months. It doesn't seem conceivable. How can that even be?
Well, neither side was able to drive the other side off the contested ground. That's why it lasted so long. And when it was over, the lines were basically where they had been, the battle lines, when the Germans initiated the attack in February of 1916. So it's kind of the inconclusive battle in the inconclusive war. The only thing worth toting up is the human cost, because essentially no ground changed hands.
And you said that between 600,000 and 700,000 young men were killed.
Yes, it may have been that high. Often you hear that one hears the number an even million in terms of dead and wounded on both sides. And typically the ratio in World War One was something close to one dead for every two wounded. So if there were 300,000 or 350,000 dead in that battle, it was probably twice the number of wounded, and that gets you perilously close to a million.
It's absolutely inconceivable for us today to think of that number of casualties. I mean, when you mentioned that the U.S. lost 100,000 soldiers, and we were involved for, what, a year?
Yeah, we entered the war in April of 1917, and the war ended, of course, on the 11th of November 1918. The fighting stopped, we'll say. The war didn't end until the peace treaties were signed the following year. But yes, we lost 100,000 men, and in all honesty, that's dead. We had two and a half times that number of wounded as well, out of about 4 million soldiers that we mobilized. But we were only really actively fighting with troops on the ground in combat from the spring of 1918 for the final 6-7 months of the war. So, but our losses, though, much smaller than the European powers who'd been involved since the summer of 1914, we lost at a pretty intense rate.
It's extraordinary when you think of 100,000 men. I mean, I don't remember how many we lost during the Gulf War or during some of these more recent wars, but it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. It's a completely different it's just another order of loss that when you think about 100,000. I mean, obviously in the Vietnam War we lost many, but it's nothing compared to what we're talking about here.
No, not in that short space of time. I think we lost 56 or 57,000 dead in our involvement in Vietnam, but we were over there for a number of years.
Right.
In terms of the World War One losses, we're talking about 6-7 months, really.
We're going to go to a break, folks. I'm talking to Hillsdale College professor Thomas Connor. The book is War and Remembrance, the story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, Albin, isn't
yes.
it time that we heard about what Janice has to say about Relief
sure.
Factor? We're sponsors of Relief Factor on this program. It works for me. I talk about it all the time, but let's hear from somebody else. Here's Janice.
I was skeptical at first, but because of the pain that I was having when I would substitute teach and have to climb stairs, so I have lower back, hip, and even knee pain. And after about 3 weeks, I found that I could climb stairs pain-free. But it wasn't only pain-free. I could do it step over step without holding on the railing. I'm really happy. It makes me feel like I'm young again.
I love stories like this.
That's great.
Well, look, I've talked to so many people that have had this experience. I told you that I've had this experience. ReliefFactor.com is the website for $19.95. By the way, the reason it's so popular is very cheap. You take this stuff. It's all botanicals. Within 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you. Sometimes in 3 days, you'll know, or in a day. But I'm saying give it 3 weeks. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-942-4730. 800-942-4730. That's 800-942-4730.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits? That costs a ton of money anyways.
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dynavite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dynavite supplement, and then the Lick-O-Chops.
Try Lick-O-Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
Dinovite .com.
Lifting me up, never let me down.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas' show. Don't let the Fleetwood Mac fool you. It's a talk show. I'm talking to an author right now and a professor of history at Hillsdale College. The book is War and Remembrance, the story of the American Battle Monuments Commission. Fascinating to talk with you, Professor Connor. You mentioned that you've given tours of these European battlefields. We were just talking about the Battle of Verdun, which lasted 10 months in 1916. You also mentioned Normandy and Belleau Wood. I don't think I've heard, if it's pronounced that way, of Belleau Wood. Where is that?
about 35, 40 miles east of Paris. And the United States Marine Corps made the fighting in Belleau Wood famous for us, Eric. It was a battle lasted most of the month of June 1918. And Belleau Wood is particularly hallowed ground to the United States Marine Corps to this day.
And so whom were we fighting there? The
we're
Germans?
We're fighting the Germans.
Yeah.
There was a very thick and rather spacious wooded area along the battle lines. The Germans were in an attack mode at that particular moment in the war. They were desperately, in fact, trying to get to Paris and knock France and England out of the war. And, of course, the United States with them. And the Americans pretty much stopped the German drive at the Belleau Wood. It was a bloody battle and very costly, but we pretty much reversed the tide of the German attack and saved France and went on within the next 4 or 5 months to kind of roll up the Western Front and bring the Germans to surrender talks.
You know, it's such a strange thing for me. My mother grew up in Germany. I lost my grandfather in the Second War, and a number of my grandmother, whom I knew well, a number of her brothers were killed in the First War. And it's fascinating to me to think, you know, when we think about fighting Hitler, we can get that. But the idea that 100 years ago we were battling the Germans and Hitler was not leading them. They were led, of course, by the Kaiser. It's a strange thing to me that that the European nations, all of whom we think of today as allies, as friends, but that we would have been in this extraordinarily bitter contest with them. What do you suppose led Germany to feel the need to launch this war? It's something I frankly have never understood.
Well, it is, to be honest with you, Eric, it is somewhat difficult for the rational mind, 100 years removed from the events, to comprehend what, in fact, the quarrel was when the European powers went at each other in the summer of 1914. It's perhaps a little clearer for us Americans to understand why we got in to the war, because the Germans were sinking our neutral ships, and they'd already killed 135 civilians on the Lusitania in 1915. Americans, that's not what brought us into the war, but it was an accumulation of attacks on our shipping that got us into the war. And one of the most hallowed principles of American foreign policy has always been freedom of the seas. So, but the Europeans had been fighting and killing each other in droves for 3 years before the Americans even got into it. But you're right, the quarrel in the Second World War, Hitler seemed to represent a much clearer threat. But in the day, back in 1917, certainly President Wilson and the American people were persuaded that Germany did in fact represent a lethal threat to what we took to be our freedoms, particularly freedom of the seas. And so that's how we got in.
Well, I'm not surprised that we got in if they're killing, you know, our boys on ships. I'm not surprised.
Right.
But I guess the question is, what do we suppose led them to do that? It's still hard for me to get my head around the idea that the Kaiser was this malevolent figure. I don't think he was. And so this is why I'm so puzzled.
Well, of course, when we're talking about degrees of malevolence, no one can top Hitler, or very few can. No, the Kaiser wasn't the same kind of threat, but the Kaiser in his own way had imperialistic ambitions. He wanted to see Germany dominate the continent of Europe. In fact, I think it's safe to say he believed that the Germans were entitled to dominate by the superiority of their racial stock and their martial spirit and whatnot. And so it was more of a kind of war of empires, you might say, back in the First World War. But all the other European countries had their own ambitions, too. The Germans were, in my view, clearly the aggressors in World War One. But it was a different kind of aggression. It wasn't the Germans in the Kaiser's time, I think, viewed themselves as of superior racial stock, but it wasn't the same kind of virulent racism that would cause Hitler to literally kill millions, murder millions over a racist impulse in the Second World War.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just interesting for me to try to understand history. That's why it's so great to have you on, to try to make some sense of it. It is bizarre today to think of this kind of thing. I think that part of the reason it's bizarre is because we did learn the bitterest of lessons. That war was not a war that made people think, hey, you know, war is worth it. If anything, it embittered the whole world toward war, certainly those who were combatants in it, and it changed everything. I think we in America often forget how the world was changed, particularly Europe. The West was changed by the first war. So it is interesting to have you help us figure it out. We're going to go to another break. I want to remind folks that we actually have a website, MetaxasForHillsdale.com. If you're curious what they're doing at Hillsdale and how you might avail yourself of what they're offering to those beyond the college itself, offering to you, check it out, MetaxasForHillsdale.com. We'll be right back.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447. 800-519-0447. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking history, military history, with a professor of history at Hillsdale College, Thomas Connor. Professor Connor, you've been at Hillsdale teaching history since 1983. I was in college in the early 80s, so you've spent most of your, well, it looks like the whole of your life as a professor of history at Hillsdale College. That's pretty rare, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is somewhat rare, but this was the only place I could find a job, actually, in 1983. I tell people it was kind of an arranged marriage that turned into a love affair. So I consider myself very fortunate to have been able to spend 35 years here.
Yeah, well, there's a little question of that. I mean, there are very few colleges like Hillsdale in this country. You give tours to your students every summer at places like the ones we've been mentioning, Verdun, Bellowwood, Normandy. Do you ever do tours for folks who are not Hillsdale students?
We did a program last year, 2017, for the general public, you might say, but we only had about 20 people. It was a wonderful experience for me, and I hope for the ones who went along. But I'm looking at retirement in the next year or two, Eric, so I don't know whether this is the kind of thing that I might start doing on a more regular basis. But I know what those sites mean to me. I know what they have meant to people I've traveled to them with. And I would love to continue to be part of an ongoing effort to acquaint as many Americans as possible with these overseas sites.
Well, I think Hillsdale has such a broad reach on programs like this and others that they should think about that. This is the kind of thing people need to be connected with our history. And when you have a great teacher, leading the tour, it kind of changes everything. I should have mentioned that you have been voted Professor of the Year at Hillsdale in every decade since the 80s. I mean, this is kind of amazing. 1989, 1999, 2008, and 2016. And you were named one of the best professors across the country by Princeton Review in 2012. So it really is wonderful to think that you're out there. I hate to think of you retiring, but, first of all, retiring is not a real concept. Nobody really retires. The only question is, what do you do, after you leave the job that you've had? But it seems to me that if you were to do something like this, you could probably get people like me to come along with you, because I would just love to be in these actual places to see where Americans lived and fought and died and today lie buried. We're out of time, Professor Connor, but this has just been terrific. Congratulations to you and all you've done, particularly on this new book, War and Remembrance. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric. It really has been a pleasure to talk with you.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website is metaxastalk.com. If you want to find out more about Hillsdale, you go to metaxasforhillsdale.com. We thank you for listening. Please go to our website, metaxasforhillsdale.com, and please visit our website, metaxastalk.com. All kinds of stuff are there for you to check out. Thank you.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.